I am Satan. I am your god now. There is no escape. Now, feel the delightful pain.
Hey, Satan! Did you hear the news? A war just broke out up on Earth.
Meet Saddam Hussein, my new partner in evil.
Move over, Satan. You're hogging all the fun. Yeah. Yeah. Man, this is getting me so hot.
Saddam, would you let me do my job, please?
Come on, rub my nipples while I torture this little piggy.
Saddam, could I talk to you over here for a second?
I don't see why you have to belittle me in front of people like that.
Hey, relax, guy.
Well, sometimes I think you don't have any respect for me.
Visit the website at Mike Hunts on Fire.
What?
Oh, God.
Dot com.
No.
Is that for real?
Yeah.
No.
Yes. Mike Hunts on Fire.
That's the website.
Dot com.
Jackie's very upset that he didn't think of that first.
Jackie thought he owned that.
Y'all are killing me.
Ah, that's funny.
And Shane, he's wonderful. He's been very good to me.
He's the promoter?
Yes, he is.
I see.
Yes.
He asked you to appear
yes.
there.
All right, and well. I guess I'll be signing autographs and introducing, you know, and stuff.
Some of the bands. Yeah. Okay. Yes,
hopefully
Todd.
I get to sing with them.
Oh, dear God.
What the heck is a rim job?
Oh, why, that's when you put your legs behind your head and have someone lick your ass.
Some people say that I'm a bad guy. They may be right. They may be right. But it's not as if I don't try. I just fuck up, try as I might. But I can change, I can change. I can learn to keep my promises, I swear it. I'll open up my heart and I will share it. Any minute now I will be born again. Yes, I can change, I can change. I know I've been a dirty little bastard. I like to kill, I like to hate. Yes, I'm insane, but it's okay, because I can change. It's not my fault that I'm so evil. It's society. Society. You see, my parents were sometimes abusive, and it made a prick of me. But I can change, I can change.
What if you remain a sandy little butthole?
Hey, Satan, don't be such a twit. Mother Teresa won't have shit on me. Just watch me change. Here I go, I'm changing.
Hello, you metal freaks. This is King Diamond, and you're listening to 3RingRadio.com with Shane. You better stay tuned.
My brothers are involved in law, and my dad was actually a state representative in Massachusetts in the 1960s. So I just don't like to confuse things with other people.
Is your name really William H. Kennedy?
Yes, that's my... It's on my birth certificate.
Wow, that's great. So you're the ever elusive William H. Kennedy.
That's how I like to be thought of, yeah.
Wow. Is that part of the circus here? Is that part of the circus of selling books?
The three ring circus, sure.
Yeah, right.
Three ring radio, sure.
Uh-huh.
Very much so.
So what religion do you practice, Mr. Kennedy?
I am a Roman Catholic myself, and I know the show goes on Radio Free Satan.
Yes.
And
it goes on a lot of radio shows, though, a lot of radio places.
Well, in particular, I just wanted to tell listeners there that the introduction of my book is written by Tracy Twyman, who used to have a show on Radio Free Satan called The Underground Stream.
And why don't they have a show on there anymore?
Tracy got busy. She's the editor of Dagger Bear's Revenge.
Okay.
Which is an occult magazine I also write for. There are articles on...
Okay, so are you being an apologist for your Roman Catholicness?
To a certain extent, certainly I am. I'm tolerant, as I say in my book, of people who practice alternative religions. The big thing I'm focusing on is the problems within the Roman Catholic Church. You know, I'm not pointing the finger at any other occult practices.
Right, you have plenty of disclaimers in your book, which I find interesting. But when I ask you about your religion, isn't that a personal, some sort of personal fact that you'd give out?
Sure, that is. I was born and raised a Roman Catholic, and I still am so.
So you divulge certain personal information.
Well, sure, about you know, my spiritual practice, I certainly would. You know, that's not, you know, saying you're a Roman Catholic is like saying you're an American. There's over a billion of us, so that's really not a personal question, as opposed to, you know, just...
There's almost a billion Kennedys, don't you think?
Oh, there's plenty of them out there, yeah.
So have you ever been molested by a priest or any time in your life were you molested?
No, and that's a legitimate question and one I often get with this book.
Sure.
No, I'm not a victim. How this book came to be written, it's quite interesting, is in 1996 I went to meet a Catholic priest named Father Malachy Martin.
Okay.
And Father Malachy Martin wrote a famous book called Hostage to the Devil about demonic possession.
Uh-huh.
Father Martin used to work in the Vatican, and what he told me then, now this is back in 1996.
Can I gotta ask you something about that before you give me these facts?
Sure.
Mr. Malachy Martin, do you have any kind of written agreement with him to talk for him?
Well, he died in 19...
Right, so I understand it's not legally possible for you to slander him since he's dead. That's why I wonder if you have anything written between you and him, letters that would prove sort of some sort of verbal agreement, or I mean not verbal, but some sort of agreement here to...
Certainly. I could give you two sources in particular.
Mm-hmm.
One is the man who introduced me to Malachy Martin, and that would be Dr. Rama P. Kumaraswamy, who is a
sure.
professor of medicine.
No, I'm talking about between you and Malachy.
Do I have any written material?
Yeah, between you and Mr. Malachy, right. Anything, you did interviews, hours of interviews. I'm wondering, do you have that on audio or any kind of documentation that you actually met the fellow or actually did an interview with him about any of these subjects?
Well certainly, as I say, I could give you two names of the man who introduced me to him, and you could contact him, certainly.
No, I know about people that you met him through, but, you know... People make mistakes. People make mistakes. I'm wondering if you have any written interviews, like through the mail, email, through, you know, like we're doing now. I'm recording this, so I'm wondering if I have proof that I actually spoke with you at least on the subject that we're speaking.
Well, I have private notes that I took during phone conversations and meetings with him.
Uh-huh.
But the only real source I could give you for having known Father Malachy Martin is people who were close to Malachy Martin.
Okay, that's cool. I don't mean to sound so, you know, I mean, I...
That's a legitimate question.
Sure, well, I'm waiting for the illegitimate questions to fly.
Okay.
But I just have to ask that because there's a couple of things I take issue with in that, and then all the disclaimers in your introduction. The disclaimers at the end, it makes it seem like this is a non-fiction type of book.
It certainly is a non-fiction type of book.
Oh, I mean a fictional book.
Oh, it seems fictional to you.
Yeah.
Well, I mean...
I'm sorry, not non-fiction. It seems like a fictional book.
Oh, really? Well, I mean...
I have some sort of dyslexia. I think it might be because of sugar.
Well, sure, you could also check my sources page.
Right, but I mean, you have a disclaimer in there, so you don't have any legal type of ramifications from any sort of, like, the process or the COS or anything like that. The Church of Satan, by the way, that's what that stands for.
Right.
And then up front, you have no proof that you ever really spoke with Malachy Martin, Father Malachy Martin, except for his friends, which, that I mean, there's no written kind of thing between you guys. How about a photo together?
No, I don't. I could just, like I say, give you names like Sal Guadagna.
Right, I know.
Martin.
Who else? I mean, yeah, name off your references so that people out in the audience can hear that. Because I'm just looking for physical evidence.
Well, I really don't have any apart from handwritten notes.
Okay, that's cool.
That's jotted down.
I think.
I usually use a big yellow pad.
Uh-huh.
A big, you know.
Yeah, I've got one too, but I could say I just spoke with the Pope and write down notes and... You know, try to pass that off as something. I talked to the Pope about he said he was in a satanic ass rape or whatever. I mean, you know, anyone can say anything. That's why I'm asking.
Well, like I say, I can only give you, you know, through email, I could give you phone numbers to, you know, his closest friends and associates.
I'd like that, because maybe I can check up on that next time. But still, you know what I'm saying. There's no physical evidence. So you looked me up on the internet, which I'm very impressed with. You do your homework.
Well, sure. I kind of found your site very interesting, in fact.
Right. So do you know I published a book with LaVey, or The Might is Right, with his introduction?
I didn't realize that. I actually met Anton LaVey once when I lived in San Francisco.
Me too.
And that was through Fritz Leiber, who was a science fiction writer.
Ah.
Who I did my master's degree at San Francisco State University in philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
I graduated in 1992.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was there, I met Fritz Leiber, who was a science fiction writer who lived around the corner from me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's very elderly at the time.
Okay.
And we were walking down to a science fiction bookstore that was on Polk Street.
Right.
In the Tenderloin, near where Fritz lived. And someone came up and said, "Hi, Fritz, how are you?" And shook hands, and I really didn't notice or know who he was, and then he was left. And then Fritz told me that was Anton LaVey.
Well, I did the last interview with Anton LaVey, me and my wife.
Right. He died when, in 1997?
I'm not sure.
Could I ask as you knew him, could I ask you a very specific question?
Well, hold on. I just want to stick on my subject. Just my one point is, I have a written contract with him and a check he signed, endorsed, and cashed. So I have physical proof that I actually did, you know, talk to him. I have the dates where we went and met with him, and we have proof of all that, you know, so I can sort of document my history with him. Otherwise, when he's dead, you can really say anything about anyone, you know, no?
Well, I could look up old phone numbers, my own old phone records.
Of Malachi?
Of Malachi Martin. I could try and find them.
That's cool. So what was the question about LaVey specifically?
Well, his daughter, Zena LaVey, has a very strange page on the internet about Anton LaVey, her father.
Uh-huh.
And in it, I don't know if you've seen this, she said that he witnessed someone doing something dirty. Have you seen that page?
Nope. I don't know. I'm not really into anything like that to research it too much. I don't care about any of that stuff.
Oh, I mean, I was just curious because it is right on the net.
Yeah, I'm not interested in anything like that, so I've never seen it. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm trying to tell you I'm not even interested in looking into it, so that's cool. What did she say? What did he witness? Tell me more.
Well, according to her, now this is Zena LaVey Shrek, I believe, or...
Yeah, the two-faced cunt, right?
Oh, well, I guess she's not too popular with her father's followers.
Well, I'm not a follower of Anton LaVey, just a business associate.
I see.
Understand that. I just don't like, you know, I don't like her. I don't like anyone like that. I was a friend of Anton LaVey. Like, I would say that. I was friendly with him. He did me right. So anyone, and the few people that have done me right, I have some sort of loyalty to them as a friend.
Well,
it's nothing beyond, so don't make inferences to anything like that. My relationship with Mr. LaVey, Dr. LaVey, or Mr. LaVey, Anton LaVey, however you want to say that, is purely business.
Oh, sure, that's fine. I was just curious if you had seen that webpage.
Right. Well, no.
No.
And the reason I call her a two-faced cunt is just because of what she's done to her family. It has nothing to do with anything else.
Oh, so there was a family falling out. I'm not too familiar with the whole thing.
I don't know. I spoke with her son at one point and, you know, didn't like anything I heard.
Oh, okay. That's fair enough. That might have been just something within their family.
Yeah.
But I would like to point out in my book, I do say that, you know, the majority of Satanists out there are harmless people. That's in my preface, and I also say they should be allowed to practice their religion, you know, unbothered by other people. In other words, if they do no one else they shouldn't be bothered.
Yeah, I don't know if that has much to do with the. I like your book, but I like it as a fictional work. I think it's funny. I think it's what I've seen of it. It's a humorous subject to me. You know, I don't think it holds much weight, though.
Okay, I mean, that's fair enough, and as I said also in my preface, the book is as much to initiate debate
right.
on these subjects as anything else?
Yeah, and that's what I'm calling to... You know what? I'm really... I started my call... When I got your forward, it got me a little hot-headed or a little... I thought it was a little... like I said, off. But I can't wait to read the rest of the book. It's very interesting nonetheless.
Well, there are certainly Catholic priests within the Roman Catholic Church who, as part and parcel of their abuse of children, were using satanic-type ceremonies. And I can...
What does that mean, though?
Well, I'll give you an example. There was a priest in Ireland named Father Sean Fortune. And Father Sean Fortune was a serial pedophile who they said
isn't it pedophile?
A pedophile, fine.
You said pedophile. It sounds like PETA, like not animal.
Oh, I didn't mean that. A child molester.
Right on. Okay.
I'll correct my pronunciation. He actually would molest children in this rural village in Wexford, Ireland.
Right.
And when the parents would confront him, these were kind of superstitious, kind of hillbilly people.
Mm-hmm.
He would say that Satan would haunt them.
Right.
If they turned him into the police.
Right.
And Father Fortune also took young boys and molested them in a place called Loftus Hall, which is famous for poltergeist activity in Ireland. And according to the Irish journalist Alison O'Connor in her book about Fortune called Message from Heaven, there was a ritual chamber in the Loftus Hall called the Devil's Room.
Okay.
Where,
Is this the one with the upside-down crosses?
No, that is one I got, that is...
No, we'll talk about that one next, then.
Sure.
Because I like to get into the... So go ahead, tell me more. There's a... You go start back with the room, the, you know...
Oh, okay, well, according to Alison O'Connor, who's a journalist for the Irish Times... Father Fortune took boys there, and he had some sort of strange ceremonies...
Right.
...in this chamber, and he would threat detractors, who, as I say, were naive sort of hillbillies, with magical hexes. For example... He would walk up to a pregnant woman and give the hand evil eye symbol if she were pregnant and say, you know, if you cross me, your next child will be born crippled.
Yeah, but what is that? I mean, that doesn't really... I don't understand how that makes them... you know, that just makes them crazy. You know, what you have listed as and titling as some sort of thing is just really crazy people.
Well, it's not crazy when you consider that his bishop protected Fortune for many, many years and allowed him to go on with his activities.
Didn't he really protect his business?
No, he was complicit in the protection of...
I mean, but that's a business, and they just made bad business decisions that are catching up with them now.
Well, the Bishop Kaminsky had to resign over the case.
Right, but that's... But I mean, to tie it into some satanic plot or something weird, I just don't agree. I believe everything you're saying about all these people, but, you know, I also think there's holes in it. Like, you know, if you're really that fucked up in the mind, you think fucking some little kid in the ass over the altar in the church, now that's decadent. Okay, that's
okay,
really...
Well, the Fortune did things like that as well.
Well, that's good. Right, so that I would believe. Now you make you make me believe that you have this great, incredible character or this personality, this criminal personality. So you have this great criminal personality, but... That doesn't really mean anything, but he's a deviant or a, you know, mentally ill person. And, you know, you can blame the color of someone's hair. I mean, these criminals will blame hair, blame religion. Ted Bundy blames pornography. They all blame something, or they all, you know, I mean.
Well, he also had other priests who were into this sort of thing, according to Alison O'Connor's book. So it was a group of people, you know.
Don't you agree that's sort of crazy, though?
Well, I certainly do. I think it's completely insane. And, it, you know, this is a horrible thing to be happening. You know, I'm a Catholic schoolboy myself.
Right, and you say you've never been arrested, or never been molested.
No.
And what's your, do you live at home with your parents?
I look after an elderly mother, yeah.
So you live at home with your mom?
Yeah, I'm 39, and my father passed away, and my mom is 77.
What's your preference as far as... Sex, men, women, both?
Well, women, usually.
Usually, but sometimes on a good night it's a man and a woman, something like that?
No, usually it's just nobody.
Oh, okay.
Women are nobody.
You know, I just have to be honest. When I talked to you, you sounded a little light in your loafers. And, you know, not that that means anything. Not that there's anything wrong with that. And
well,
then, I right away, wait.
I'm a homophobic person.
Well, I'm not saying I am. I'm just saying you sounded a little light in the loafers. And I right away, I'm just being honest with you, what I thought. And I right away thought, you know, this person's been molested and he's this is like revenge. So.
Well, boy, you're reading an awful lot, seeing as, you know, we've never met or anything. That's reading an awful lot. And as I said.
Reading an awful lot into what you wrote?
Yeah, I mean, you're reading my character out of a book I wrote. You know, most of my sources for that book are the Boston Globe. Were the reporters there all molested?
Well, they're biased.
The Pulitzer Prize.
I mean, they're sort of biased, or either that or you're a shill to make this controversy grow, and, you know, they get more donations. It's a wonderful kind of...
Who gets donations?
The Catholic Church.
I don't think the Catholic Church is going to make any money out of my book. I make them look terrible.
No, I mean, right, but by them looking terrible, this great controversy that this has happened, is it really affecting their church at all? Haven't they got more donations? Aren't donations up because of controversy?
From what I understand,
I mean,
the diocese going bankrupt, if you've
read the papers. Yeah, well, I do read the papers, but it's just like in the entertainment business. There's a lot of things they write. I don't really believe in the papers. The papers. I don't really believe in the media so much as doing my own research. And just like in the entertainment business, you know, you got Pam Anderson. She's on the downslide, going bankrupt. She, all of a sudden, a mysterious porno slips out. These great controversies really propel these people into a whole other career. It really helps businesses a lot of times and doesn't hurt them so much.
Well, I think this controversy was caused more by Cardinal Bernard Law of Boston, who you might have heard about, who was forced to resign for protecting over 100 pedophiles.
Right.
It's he who started this controversy, not I.
Right, but I mean, you're...
nothing about any of this.
Right, but you've joined in into the whole thing of making these grandiose accusations and... What did you say? Speculative, or I forget the word you used in the preface.
Well, I look at the history of sexual abuse within the Roman Catholic Church historically, like hundreds and thousands of years ago.
Uh-huh.
And part of my link there, I guess you haven't gotten to that yet, is that there was always this sort of problem within the Roman Catholic Church. But in recent times, it's just kind of, you know, gotten an awful lot worse.
Right, well, celibacy would attract that kind of person anyway, right?
Well, that's hard to say. A lot of things, that's just a very tough thing to say because there seems to be no, from my research, there's no correlation between heterosexuality and child molesters. Because, you know, there are child molesters from all walks of life who have wives and children.
Are you saying homosexuals or heterosexuals? What'd you say?
Well, I'm saying that child molesters are kind of a class on their own.
Right, they get attracted to this whole gig because of the celibacy. It sort of hides their whole attraction to the young.
Well, certainly they hide behind the church, and that's really the sick part of it.
Right.
See, my book is an attack against my own church. Really not an attack against the Church of Satan or any other
right.
particular, the Process Church. 99% of my book, 99.9, is an attack against my own church.
Well, I don't even think it's that. I just think it's, fun and games playing on the big buck, the big interest in conspiracy theories and stuff like that. You know, that's just me. When I read it, that's right away what I see, you know.
I mean,
it's either that or you got some sort of, you know, like you were molested or something crazy like that.
Well,
you know,
that's certainly not the case. My academic background is in philosophy and religious studies.
Uh-huh.
So, I went to state universities. So writing a book about religion that's happening in my time is just part of my academic training as well. You know, that's part of, I did a religious studies degree in some anthropology.
Yeah, but you're a Roman Catholic. Does that mean you failed out of philosophy?
No, because according to Catholic thought, philosophy is the handmaiden of theology. That's the way it's put. Boethius said that.
Oh, boy. So, you know, originally I called you about the Process Church.
Oh, right, yeah.
And I'm sort of interested in the Process Church right now. And you there's all these great theories and stuff, but there's nothing backing up any of this stuff. And like in your own disclaimer in the beginning of the book, you talk about how you have all these great witnesses, but no one's come forward with a name. Now, when Mr. Malachi wrote his book, did he have any witnesses that came forward with any names?
Father Malachi Martin?
Yeah.
Well, what Father Malachi Martin said was that there was this cabal of child molesters within the Roman Catholic Church.
Right, but did he have any evidence, like, with witnesses like you don't?
Well, you know, the big reason I can't disclose my witnesses is
right.
because they signed gag orders with the church.
No, I dig what you're saying. I mean, it's but you also...
signed confidentiality agreement.
You don't put that in the book.
I certainly do put that in the book. You haven't read the whole book.
Is that in the preface?
That's in... it's in the book somewhere, either that or in the...
Okay. I mean, I didn't get through too much of the... You know, I just skimmed through the rest.
The first thing the Roman Catholic Church does when someone comes with a complaint
uh-huh.
of their kid getting molested...
Right.
They have their lawyers make them sign a gag order or a confidentiality agreement.
Mm-hmm. Did any of these people ever speak in the media where you could have quoted out of, the Boston papers or anything
okay,
about...
I mean, that's most of my book is quotations from, the Boston Globe and Herald and the Irish Times.
But why not name some of the people that are already quoted in the Boston Times? Why do you keep your sources so to yourself?
I don't keep them to myself. They told me this in confidence, and they
okay.
said it's called a confidential source.
But
so journalists use them all the time.
Right on, but back to Malachy, did he have any people? Well, you know what I'm saying. It would sell a lot more books had you had a couple people come forward with their names attached to it.
Oh, the book's selling fine.
But you know what I'm saying. Come on. It makes you give you more validity then. I mean, when I look at it, you have no proof, no physical proof of a relationship with Malachy, no, but witnesses.
First of all, you haven't read the entire book.
But I'm asking you.
I sent it to you a couple hours ago.
Right, I'm asking you just questions based on just a couple things I read. Does Mr. Malachy, does he have any witnesses in his book or books or any kind of conversations he had through radio in interviews, does he cite any sources that are victims that say, yes, I was satanically abused or abused in these black rooms? Anywhere. Anywhere in the annals of your research have you found a victim quoted by someone that has your point of view?
Yes, in Alison O'Connor's book, Message from Heaven, about Father Sean Fortune, for one.
Uh-huh.
There are people there, there's a list of offenses against him that his parishioners brought up against him and is signed with names, and I'll be happy to mail you a copy of it on Monday.
Yeah, but he sounds like a lone kook.
Well, he had allies, if you know, you read my chapter on there, it's called Fortune's Curse,
uh-huh.
and he really wasn't a lone kook, he had associates and he was protected by his bishop. That's the point of the book, it wasn't lone kook Satanist. The bishop knew he was a Satanist. People went there and complained that he was a Satanist, and the bishop kept protecting him.
So you have sources against...
Yes, this is from the Irish Times journalist Alison O'Connor.
Right, but right, that's one person, a writer. You know, I'm just...
Well, she has all sorts of names in there. I mean, you know, you can question the New York Times if you want to. You can question anything you want. But there are certainly hard facts you can draw from journalism, and many of those hard facts are from confidential sources.
Sure, you know, understand, my frustration comes from not getting any information on my research. And then when I go to look at your book and I want to do research, there's nothing there. It's thin. So I go, where can I go to...
Hold on. Every chapter has tons of sources.
Well, no, not really. I mean, yeah, it has sources that go around in a circle. I want to talk to people, like this process stuff, from Maury Terry on down. I mean, we really want to find some answers here, and it goes around in a circle. I have no bias for anyone, but I can tell you from all angles. How do you like that train? Did you hear that?
I did hear that.
You want? SSL!
From all ends, there's not really anything solid, but he said, she said kind of stuff. And that's really what my frustration is when I look through your book,
well,
is you have sources that have sources.
The Boston Globe's book called Betrayal, which won the Pulitzer Prize. Most of the sources in that are confidential sources that they did not release the names of the victims.
Yeah, well...
But, you know, why don't you call the Pulitzer Prize Committee and complain about the Boston Globe?
Well, because I'm talking to you about your book. Let's not get off track here.
I'm giving you an example of how sources work in journalism.
Yeah, but I haven't... You know, to compare that book here is like, you know, that's like, you're talking about nothingness now, because I have never seen that book. I've never looked into that book.
Maybe
so I don't... I've looked into your book. I'm talking about your book.
Okay, well, my book, you're asking me the sources for my book, and I'm...
If there's any sources out there anywhere, I'm looking for this mysterious zone, like the person I would really love to talk to is the social worker.
Okay, that's someone who doesn't want to come.
Right, what's the Protestant Church Youth Social Worker? That's a person that is, it's someone like that. Someone like that I want to speak with. But those, you know, wherever I look, it's a confidential source,
I mean, so does the Boston Globe uses confidential.
Yeah, but I understand the business behind that stuff. I understand the business behind that and the circus behind that. And that's why I say this is thin. I mean, if you had some evidence like, you know, Joe Schmo was on Oprah Winfrey. It's talking about this,
could I give you another example of another whole chapter I have in there called
The
Devil's Mark?
Sure.
The Vice Chancellor of the Archdiocese of Boston, Monsignor Frederick Ryan, tattooed a boy with a devil figure, took him down to Rhode Island, and molested him.
Okay.
You know, what's the Monsignor, the Chancellor, the third person in charge of the Archdiocese of Boston, tattooing an underage boy with a devil on his thigh and raping him for?
That's
what I call a Satanist.
Wow, well, that's not what I would...
That's an Associated Press story.
I would just call that a sick person. That's odd that you would call that person a Satanist when they're just... Hold on, that's like me. You know what? I call that person a dirty Roman Catholic.
Okay.
How about that?
He didn't put an image of the Buddha on the boy's thigh. He put an image of Satan on
it. His image is Satan. His Catholic image is Satan. My image of Satan might be something totally different. That's up to preference or you know, personal beliefs. And to say that person is something like that, it's just strange to me when you have this bias with the Catholic Church, how you use those words so creatively, yet you don't take responsibility for them.
Well,
that person is just a sick... Hold on, buddy. That person, that's disgusting. He's a sick person.
Yes,
that doesn't make him anything but a mental deficient deviant.
I agree with you, but the point is he was protected by Cardinal Bernard Law.
What? Another sicko. They had a circle jerk going. Who cares?
That's the point of my book.
Yeah, but...
Shane, that's the point of my book. It's not really an attack. What I'm saying is some of these sicko priests, a very small majority of them, drew from Satanism and things like the Process Church and the systematic rape of children. Okay, they also drew from the Roman Catholic Church to do this sick thing. This isn't an attack on the Church of Satan personally.
I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying you don't have anything anywhere. Nothing but a bunch of... It's like, you know, you could just put serial killer in front of their name or serial rapist. It's like a true crime book about people who committed these acts. But it has nothing. There's no... I don't think there's any big tie. There's no proof of anything, but... It's as you say, conjecture.
Well, I mean,
conjecture is the word you use, right?
Someone like how about
conjecture is the word you use, correct?
I did use the word conjecture, but not in reference. That's in concerns the history of this situation.
Your book is mainly conjecture.
No, it's mainly reference from the Boston Globe, Irish Times, New York Times.
Well, what is your disclaimer about then? Because I could swear it said it's conjecture. No, you use that word
that
there.
That concerns, you haven't read the whole book. I put a section in there in the final chapter about false messiahs, which I got from Colin Wilson, his book Rogue Messiahs, about how there is a history of this sort of Luciferian and satanic element within the Roman Catholic Church that has always been there. Okay, that's what I'm referring to. And a lot of that is certainly inferred from...
Yeah, you're
position records, which are, you know, some people will call into question.
Yeah, all I'm saying is you're referring to criminal activity, nothing more, nothing less. It's criminal activity, it's mental deviance,
were Catholic priests who did it.
Yeah.
And that's the whole point of my book.
But they're no more heterosexual or homosexual than they are Catholic priests. That has nothing to do with their crimes.
Well, it does when you consider that Paul Shanley sodomized children in a Catholic confessional. Father Paul Shanley.
It has not. It's just because they're perverse.
Yes.
If they believed in something else, they'd be doing it over there. They'd be doing it in a synagogue. Who cares? That's just their fetish. Just like Michael Jackson, he'd have the boy suck on his nipples as he jerked off.
Okay,
it's just his thing, man. It's just his thing.
The point being, though, is that the Vatican all the way down protected these people doing their thing.
You know, you can blow that out of proportion with anything. It's not the whole that. I don't even know what the hell you're talking. It doesn't matter about that stuff. It's just it's not a big percentage, as you say in your preface, your preface. You say exactly that. You say it's not a big percentage, and that's what I'm saying. To keep putting these titles on people, Catholic Church, Satanist, is just circus, man. It's hype. It's that whole thing you talked about in there, Satanic Panic or whatever. You're selling it's like a tabloid story, man.
I'm just then. If I'm guilty of that, so is the Boston Globe and the New York.
Sure, they are. Absolutely, the media is.
Then you're just saying so no book should be written, or
no. I'm sorry, sir. But if I were to write the book, I would have made sure I had someone come out. Some I would have proof that I was hanging out with Malachi. Okay, that's where I would start right there.
Well,
it'd be like
I'll give you phone numbers tonight.
As a journalist and a professional and someone that's older than me and went to college, I would have carried a tape player. You know, I'm a high school dropout, man. And I'm taping this, and I've taped things
You're taping it because it's a radio show.
Hold on, sir. I've been doing this for 20 years, since I was 15. There's my rides here.
Okay.
It's a funny. But I've been doing this since I was 15 out of the back of a car, man. And I've always taped things, even off a payphone. I've got 20 years worth of tapes because as a natural journalist. Now, I never went to school, so I really don't even know what that word is. But I know that I'm just inquisitive by nature, and that's all it is.
Well, all I can do you, if you certainly don't seem to want to take my word, I can give you like five or six names of Malachi's
friends. I wouldn't take my mama's word. I don't take words. That's part of me.
Professor of medicine at Albert Einstein Medical College in New York City.
Sure, I'd love to talk to some of these people.
Father Rama Kumara Swami.
Yeah, I'd like to talk to them, and I mean, I'm going to ask them their sources, and it's going to go around in a circle, and that's what you hear here tonight is my frustration, how this is a lot of talk about more, you're saying more and more about less and less, and there's no proof anywhere around, not really.
According to Jimmy Breslin, I don't know, he was on TV today, he wrote a book about the church crisis as well.
Sure.
There's some 10,000 victims have come forward worldwide.
Yeah, he sounds like a mouthpiece. I don't know him, I guess, but he's
a Pulitzer Prize winner, too.
Well, I don't care. There's some shitty movies that win the Academy Awards, man. I don't believe in politics. I don't believe. I'm not a believer, dude.
Well,
we separate.
Own, you go by your own standards, which
you
don't necessarily calibrate. To the rest of
I don't need an award. Award means nothing to me. It means when I read your book and you say, "Listen, here's a disclaimer. I'm gonna say all this stuff, but legally you can't hold me to it because I don't. I can't. It's all conjecture." And then you spout off all this stuff, and you use Father Malachi Martin's name in vain because I don't even know you talked to the guy. And even though you got people calling me, I gotta have these people. How do I know who these people are? And they're going to call me and tell me something? There's not even a photo of you with this guy. And that's only the one side of it.
Well, I mean, I don't necessarily take photos with everybody I meet.
I mean, come on, a letter interview.
You're denying that I knew Malachi Martin? I mean, how do I know you met Anton LaVey?
Because I have signed contracts.
Right this second? Can you prove it right
Sure. Absolutely. Not right this second, no. I'm saying you have nothing when I hang up the phone. You just have phone calls.
Yes,
there's not even, there's not
like
even
medical college professors, sources like
right, but
businessmen.
When did he die? 1999?
Yes, he did. In July of 1999.
How old were you then?
I was, let me see, I'm 39 now, whatever.
Mid-30s. Right. And you don't even have an audio. It's not like he died in the 30s, man. I can understand, dude. There wasn't recorders then.
I'm just not a tech person.
But you're an educated journalist and writer.
I'm an educated writer, but
not a journalist?
I'm not a journalist, no.
There's no journalistic ethics involved in what you're doing?
I'm a writer and researcher.
But this is entertainment.
Well, wait a minute. Now you're saying there's standards here. Now you're saying there's certain journalistic standards, like people who win the Pulitzer Prize who are saying exactly the same
thing. Well, I don't care about a prize, man. I care. I have to read their stuff.
You're talking about standards. The measure of standards in our society is prizes like the Pulitzer Prize. So you're holding, I'm saying that the Pulitzer Prize winners have the same opinion of the church as I do.
Well, is it opinionated or is it written and it says, listen, this isn't really anything you can stick, I'm not saying anything.
Why don't you look at the chapter on Father Fortune? There's names there of
yeah, but isn't
his victims
that,
in Ireland. You could probably get their phone numbers and speak with them.
You keep going back to him.
I could get you some victims.
But he's a criminal. You keep going back to this guy that has ties to this. This, like, people could go back to Manson and say he has ties to everything under the sun. I've yet to see it proven. It's amazing how when you have this stuff with these, there's some non-answers, how people attach these great stories to it. And I'm not saying your story isn't like a great story or a wonderful read.
I want to take it as a fiction, but I'll just say this. I just didn't, you know, I wanted to be a writer my whole life. I don't see there's anything wrong with that.
No!
I've even wanted to be a writer and an editor. And
sure.
I want my favorite writer, Colin Wilson. He left school at 16.
Yeah, man, I'm down with that, dude.
No,
and when
I'm not throwing up my education in your face.
Well,
I'm just saying that my background is in religious studies and philosophy, and I would tend to write books about major events that are going on.
Hold on. Let's not twist up my words here, bro. I'm not throwing your education in your face as much as I'm saying I think you should have just some simple proof between a friendly relationship, let alone these witnesses that they have a gag order or whatever the excuse is why this doctor, this social worker doesn't want to talk. So I dig all the cool stuff you're saying, but when I look at the book, I go, wow, there's no witnesses that will put their names down. There's no evidence between him and Malachi Martin. There's not one person.
I can only prove my relationship with Malachi Martin through the people who introduced me to them.
Sure.
You don't want to take anyone's word. What can I say?
Well, I mean, I don't know those people. I mean, that's irrelevant right now. I'm talking about your book and the facts it has and what are disfacts.
You're asking me about how I met Malachi Martin, who I mentioned in my book, and I'm telling you my sources.
Sure.
Yeah,
I'm going to talk to them. I'll talk to them next time, and we'll talk more about your book. What's the name of it?
Lucifer's Lodge, Satanic Ritual Abuse in the Catholic Church.
Available at Amazon.com.
And www.luciferslodge.net.
Exactly. So I just want to make sure, you know, I'll make sure to plug that more and more, because I think it's an interesting read, but I just don't think, I understand, my frustration is looking at your book as research. And seeing the same story written over and over again, rewritten or written in a different way.
You haven't read the whole book, so how can you make that judgment?
Well,
I sent you that book a couple hours ago. How could you have read the whole 220 pages?
I didn't read the whole. You're right. You may have read.
Listen,
I looked at the facts that you have, and they're thin. And that's what frustrates me.
Like the Irish Times and the Boston Globe is thin.
Well, I don't care about what other people wrote.
Father Paul Shipley.
I care about what you write.
What?
Other newspapers and other people getting awards. I'm talking about you and your book.
Well,
that's
my
it.
My book is based on
I'm criticizing what little I saw in your book. And that's all I'm saying. I mean, it's a good story.
Every chapter has like 30 or 40 footnotes. It's a very well-referenced book. I have tons of footnotes.
Okay.
Academic books, and I have tons of footnotes.
Well,
I even address the horrible things that happened to the Emerald family.
You know what? I want to talk to you about that.
Charges.
See, we're going back and forth about nothing because I just see that's my opinion or not my opinion. I think it's facts. There's not a lot there as far as that, but we're splitting hairs on something
that's true. And
okay,
you know,
do you know Jim Rothenstein?
I've heard of Jim Rothenstein. I believe he's been on A Closer Look, a show that I'm also on.
Okay.
I've seen him listed there. I don't know too much about him, but I have heard of his name.
Okay. I do want to hear about the Gerald, how do you say his last name? Emerald?
Gerald Emerald, who was falsely imprisoned for Satanism.
Yeah, he sounds interesting. I'd like to talk to him.
What?
Is he alive?
Yes, he is. He was just released from prison. He had a horrible ordeal.
I'd like to talk to him, but hold on. You know, I have a couple questions from my beautiful wife, Amy. When she looked at it, and she thought this was okay. I'm gonna read this off real quick. What is your idea of a utopian government or society?
Boy, my idea of a utopian government or society.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to be honest, as a Catholic, I don't see that really happening. In this world, the best, I think the Constitution we have here in the United States, if, you know, the people that run this country would restore the Bill of Rights, that would be a good move towards a utopian society, but right now I believe we're living in a fascist police state. You know, I mean, with the Patriot Act and such. So what my image of a utopian society would be is, you know, I'd rather just focus on getting the Bill of Rights back for now. I think that's the most important thing.
Well, I agree with you there.
Okay, towards a utopian society.
Would you, let me read this. Who would be favored, who would be unacceptable in the utopian government, or not the utopian government, your way of running the show?
My way of, you mean if I was put in charge of the world?
Well, that's just, maybe we'll skip that question, how about, since I don't understand what that was.
I never gave that much thought, because I don't think that would ever happen.
This is, do you believe that George Bush, the Republican Party in general, are faking their hardcore Christian views and ugling up Christianity in an effort to secretly turn people away from the faith, creating an anti-Christian religion? Well, do they want a Marilyn Manson society?
Well, it's really interesting, because one thing you and George Bush and John Kerry, they're both in the Skull and Bone Society.
Sure, I know all that. Yeah, for sure.
Did you see that 60-minute special where they talked about how in their initiation ceremony they kneel before a figure dressed as Satan?
No, but I don't, you know, that stuff's...
I mean, even Lord Egan at the First Church of Satan
in
Massachusetts.
Yeah.
He even put that on his page.
Oh, I don't care. I don't care about that stuff.
Well, I'm just telling you that you know, other Satanists are acknowledging the fact that Kerry and Bush are themselves Satanists.
Let's talk about the Process Church and the Best Friends Network, which is really my point here, and which is really what's pissing me off, and I barely have 15 minutes to talk to you before this hour's over.
Sure.
But that's really why I've come to talk to you.
Sure.
And I'm looking for any solid proof. Anything. I mean, T.P. McKinney, I anything. And I don't even know who that person is. You know, I mean, it sounds good, and I listen to every hour on that. What's the gentleman's name?
The Michael Corbin.
Michael Corbin. Sounds good. And I like a lot of stuff that's on there. I believe in everything and nothing at the same time. So understand, when I read your stuff, that's sort of where I'm coming from.
Oh, everything and nothing. Okay.
Yeah. All at once. I believe what you're saying, but I can't really, I don't see any proof for a lot of it. Not solid proof. A lot of talk. So I wonder, is there anything solid? You know, because I tell you, my personal dealings with the Best Friends Network and some of these process folks, I haven't liked it. I think they're they're full of shit, but I also think they're selling the same kind of crap that you're selling.
I mean, you could really look at it that way if you want to. The big thing about the Process Church is it for many years hid the fact that it reincorporated into the Best Friends Animal Network.
Right, right. Well, I dig all that.
That's kind of a strange thing to do. And you know, they were a very, very odd group, you must admit. Robert Moore de Grimston was a very strange character.
Sure, I admit to all the obvious things, and then you can say hiding it is weird, just like I can say you're hiding all your facts or people or not is weird. So we split hairs on that again. The thing is in the facts. Like, you know, you can also say that's a bad business move. And now that they're making a gazillion dollars and having this weird power, now the microscope's on them, just like all folks, just like Martha Stewart, poor Martha Stewart. You know, I just don't... I'm looking for something more, man. I mean, I'm interested in all these killings they do and the mass orgies and weird things that I hear about, but I just don't see any solid stuff.
Well, I mean, if people's testimonies aren't good enough for you, and things like a devil tattoo that they had a photograph in a court of law of...
I'd like... Where's this information, man?
Oh, I can send it to you tonight. It's from an AP article, and...
About the Process Church?
Oh, I'm sorry. We'll get back on topic to the Process Church.
Wow, I thought we were... that's what I'm talking about. There's no evidence about them. They're, you know, you said they changed their name... And that's nefarious, or they hid their name and they hid their history. But I don't see it that way. I just see it as a bad business thing, and I don't see a lot of proof. You know, anything.
And they're up to no good.
Well, no. I mean, you know, I hear these radio shows and Mr. Corbin's radio shows, and you know, people are criticizing them for maybe their beliefs on cloning or something, which is something that's like political or religious. It doesn't really hold any water, man. If we're going to sit here and not get beyond religion and personal beliefs, we're never going to get anywhere. Well, if you're going to bring up religion,
I just don't particularly like the Church of the Final Judgment. And I mean, there were links to Charles Manson with them because he wrote an article for their.
Well, that's not really a good link. No, I mean,
having an article in your magazine.
So am I not linked to the Roman?
Live down the street with on Cole Street.
So are you not linked with the Church of Satan because this radio show is going to go out over Radio Free Satan?
Pardon?
Are you not linked with the Church of Satan because this radio show is going to be broadcast off a Radio
not
Free
at all,
Satan?
Because initially I made it clear that I was a Roman Catholic and that I had been on.
Sure, and you're tolerant.
Before.
Right.
You know, I didn't come on here, you know, making believe that I wasn't a Catholic. You know, I didn't come on here as a Satanist. I came on here as.
Yeah, but your affiliation with it means nothing. Your talking to me means nothing. Charles Manson writing an article for them means nothing.
Well, I mean,
now you're talking about censorship, weird stuff like that.
I'm
like,
talking about censorship. I'm talking about that as a clear and distinct link between the Manson family
it's
Robert Moore de Crimson.
No, come on. More. I want more. That's not good enough.
Charles Manson at his trial said Robert Moore and I are one
of the same. I need more. It's hype.
Book.
It's hype. Still, I need more. I mean, I need more.
The court transcript. He said they're the same thing. What do you more...
That's not good enough. I know everything I've heard is not good enough. It's just not, and I really want more.
The transcript isn't good enough?
No, that word...
California court where Bugliosi prosecuted Manson
yes,
and Manson...
The court, I believe that what they said. I believe... Listen, I'm not saying I don't believe Manson said that. I'm saying that doesn't...
Well, isn't that clear and distinct proof that Manson said he was the same as Robert...
No, that's like...
article for his magazine?
Do you agree that Charles Manson is a madman?
He's absolutely insane.
Okay, so when an insane person says something, do I have to... You think I'm going to take that as a credible witness? He also said he was one and the same with Jesus Christ. So does that mean he is linked with Jesus Christ?
The physical forensic evidence is his article in the magazine, which is kind of backed up by... what?
So what?
I mean, that's a clear and distinct...
No, it's like hype.
Article.
It's hype.
You know, and
that's not clear and distinctive of anything. You know what's clear and distinctive is the people that Bugliosi put in jail, the criminals that he prosecuted, and they admitted to, and or he had physical evidence to that. If there was a clear and distinct link to any of these people, there would be a clear and distinct link.
Susan Atkins was a member of the Church of Satan.
Right.
And so was Bobby Bugliosi for a while.
Yeah.
How do you pronounce his name?
I don't know, but what does that mean? Who cares?
You know, the guy
and these people are members of the Catholic Church. That doesn't matter anything. I could be a member of the Mickey Mouse Club and kill. Gacy was a clown. Who cares? They're criminals. They're
yes,
affiliated.
They are, but I'm just pointing out.
So now Gacy's a clown. Every clown's bad.
I'm just empirically demonstrating that some of these Catholic priests were involved with things we call Satanism in the Catholic Church,
right,
which is against our religion.
They're just sadistic and perverted and demented criminals.
Protected by all sorts of higher ups, which
but
makes it a very frightening thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of frightening things, and there's a lot of things out of control. There's a lot of power. There's a lot of breaks in the power grid as far as that shit goes. And there's, you know, there is a higher up. But so what? They're no more perverted. You see, I live in a neighborhood where there's child molesters and drug addicts and shit like that, and it's no different. I mean, there's sexual deviants that are, you know, there's people that use sex magic, pimps, drug pushers, rock stars. They all take advantage of their power.
Most of them don't wear Roman collars and hand.
So what? How do you know? I mean, you don't know what they do to manipulate people. The manipulation of stupid people has gone on since the Catholic Church got down and started bringing followers and people who get on their knees. That's just sick to me. That's the problem in our society is religion, period. Any kind of followers, it's disgusting to me. And to promote that in your book and to make money off it is wild. And I think you, my friend, by your own definition and others, are satanic.
Wow, that's the first time I've been called a Satanist, I must admit.
I don't know about a Satanist, but you are a pretty evil man.
I'm an evil person.
Well,
I've never been called evil.
You know, to make money like this off a boy ass is, you know, I mean...
You know, you can go to my webpage, williamhkennedy.com, and there's tons of free articles from Dagobert's Revenge, from New Dawn Magazine.
So what?
You know, I give away a lot, and I don't make all that much money on my books. You know, I'm not cleaning up.
Well, I just don't...
You know where I will make a little bit of money, though, I'll have to admit, that Lucifer's Lodge has been opted for a documentary by Danny Schechter of Global Vision Films, a two-time Emmy Award winner, but I know that, you know, awards don't mean a lot to you, so, you know, he checked my sources and found them to be credible. You know, he's a two-time Emmy Award winner, a former Harvard Fellow in journalism.
You were also friends with him since you were 8 years old?
He's a family friend, but that doesn't make him any less of a, you know, great journalist.
No, I'm just asking you a question. It's yes or no. Yes, I...
I've known him my whole life.
Since eight. 8 years old, right?
Yes, 8 years old.
Okay. I didn't get to that point where I think that's sort of a weird connection, you know?
Well, my sister worked at the same radio station as he did, WBCN in Boston.
You know what? I'm going to have you on for part two next week.
I'd love to come back.
Can you hold on 1 second?
Sure, sure.
Let me just stop this tape.
Good and evil does not exist.